Hello, and welcome again to Leadership Amplified. I'm Dr. Karen Morley, and I'm very pleased to be able to welcome you to another podcast episode. In this podcast, I profile leaders who are great role models, who inspire us to be curious about what good leadership is, and who show us how to lead well. In this episode, my guest is Karen Brown, who is a pharmacist and entrepreneur, and so much more. Karen owns two Terry White Chemmart pharmacies in Brisbane, Australia. She is the co-founder and director of Batch Tested and also of Innovative Pharmacy Group. Karen describes herself as someone who likes to make the most of opportunities. She combines her passions for pharmacy, sport, business, and people to challenge the status quo and to redefine how people view their community pharmacy. She is the recipient of many awards. Most recently, in January 2021, she received a Small Business Person of the Year award as part of the Australia Day Awards. She was recognised for her leadership, entrepreneurship, and dedication to the community. Other awards are nominee for Telstra Business Women's Awards in 2019 and 2020. She was the winner of the Terry White Chemmart National Pharmacy of the Year Award in both 2016 and 18, and she's also been the Terry White Chemmart's Pharmacist of the Year. She was a finalist in the Rhonda White Leadership Award for three consecutive years from 2017. And we're not finished yet. She's also achieved personal sporting success, being a member of the Queensland Firebirds netball team from 2000 to 2002. So, Karen, welcome. It's a great pleasure to be interviewing you for the podcast today. And congratulations, particularly on the recent Small Business Award. That's really fantastic recognition for your work. And welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you so much for inviting me to be part of it. And in reference to that award, it was quite, I think, really humbling. I think you get recognised, which is lovely. It's not why we do what we do, but to be, that was actually one nominated by my community, which was really, really special. And also one that my children happened to be present for the first time to see mum receive an award. So that was quite sentimental as well.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And what we'd like to do today is to hear a bit about the Karen Brown leadership story and, in a sense, what are all the great things that you've been doing from the earliest age you like that bring you to this point when you're being so well recognised for the work that you've done. What's the story for you?
Thank you. I must admit, when you said that with the leadership story, I'm so used to giving my business story, and it really made me think, technically in your life, when does leadership start? Mm. And I am a believer that there's part of you that is a natural born leader. And I think when I look back to my childhood, you know, I was school captain at primary school. I was sports and house captain at high school. Captain of many netball teams along the way. And so probably technically that's where my leadership journey started. From a business perspective, I was 14 in grade 9 at a careers information day and decided I wanted to be a pharmacist and I wanted to help people with their health. And I thought they looked like a really pretty place to work. And I think in those days, pharmacies were the David Jones of pharmacies. And so that appealed to me more than the white walls of a GP practice or something down that medical field. So pharmacy was it. And I was graduated and unfortunately just missed out with my OP to get into the pharmacy degree at uni. So I ended up doing science first, which was a blessing in disguise because while I was doing science, I was privileged enough to play netball for the Queensland Firebirds and for 3 years got to travel the countryside playing netball whilst doing full-time uni. So and then it was came to the point where I was like, actually, netball, whilst it was semi-professional and you were paid to play, it was always a hobby and a passion of mine, but got to the point where it was time to retire and kind of concentrate on my career. And that's when, you know, I graduated from pharmacy. I was extremely fortunate that I was only about 18 months out of my degree when I was offered my first partnership. And so for some people that would be considered quite young, but it was something that probably because of my sporting background didn't faze me. I was used to hugely being part of teams. I was used to captaining teams, coaching teams, being team manager. And so much of what I do in business is what I learned in sport. And in really basic terms, you're bringing a group of individuals together for a common goal. And I see myself as a coach of my team, as a people manager. I think some of the best sporting coaches in the world don't necessarily have the analytical skills. They're actually just phenomenal people managers and get the best out of people. And so as a 26-year-old owning my first business and leading a team of 15 people, far more experienced, older than I was, I suppose I was confident in myself that I could do a good job.
If you don't mind, I wouldn't mind just asking a couple of questions about that sort of segment of your career and career development and life development. And it is really interesting that I would say there's no such thing as a natural born leader, but perhaps early experiences make a really big difference. But what do you think it was, if you think about those first experiences as being sort of school captain, captaining sporting teams, what do you think it was about you that made you stand out to others so that you were placed in those positions?
I think there's a lot to do with your upbringing. I was part of quite a big sporting family. My dad played rugby league for Australia. My mum swam for Queensland. So I was kind of brought up, and I suppose I was really, I was always confident of myself. I'm not sure if I'm very tall. I'm a netballer. So I probably had
I've noticed that in photos. People won't see that from the podcast, but that is true.
Yes. So I've always kind of, I suppose, had a presence, and I've always been confident in myself as a tall person. And I often talk to teenage girls now about, you know, just be confident in your height and shoulders back, and don't, so many of them get quite timid and want to slouch. I suppose I've always had that presence about me. And I just love being part of teams, and I love just being around people. And so probably that's what led to those primary school opportunities and things like that.
And it's interesting then moving into sort of roles, your roles in pharmacy, your first role, and you've pointed out in particular the challenges that come from working with and perhaps being more senior to older people, more experienced people, people who've got those sorts of differences. And I hear that a great deal from younger leaders. And I'm sort of flipping a bit forward here, but what helped you to kind of overcome that feeling of being daunted by that, if you were?
I think that it's, and I suppose this came from my sporting journey as well, I coached netball teams where players were older than me or even really close friends. So I've always kind of been able to differentiate between, I suppose, being the coach of the team and getting, I think there's so much that goes into earning respect. And my, what I define as a leader is, and definitely how I try to be a leader, is lead by example. So I really, you know, exactly that, lead by example. And that quite early on, I showed them that, you know, I was a really hard worker. I'm very big on getting people on the bus and heading in the same direction. I'm very big on goal setting. And that's when I talk about sport and the synergies with business. I think it's sport taught me I'm extremely competitive. I want to win. I want to be the best. And I'm extremely driven to do that. I set really high expectations and standards. And I think so much comes down to the little one percenters. And I've definitely learned over my leadership journey how you get your team on the bus without overwhelming them. and kind of really setting out from the start and even as early as the recruitment phase now to kind of say this is what we're all about. Yeah. And ultimately we've got the runs on the board now as well, so people can see that this is why we're so successful. I've always had a very open door policy and don't hold grudges. And I think that's another sporting thing where you just, you know, say it as it is and we move on. Don't take things personally. You know, I've never been, I respect my opposition and my competitors, but I've never been consumed by them. You know, you can't, I'm always about just what's in our control. That's what we'll worry about and that's what we'll focus on. So, yeah, I think for those early days, it was definitely lead by example and I'm in it for the right reasons. And I think as well, the really great leaders, it's like this ripple effect or this infectious that you want to bring out the best, or the really good leaders bring out the best in people and help them reach heights they never thought they could reach. And I think that's what I've always tried to do. And that, you know, inspires people to want to be part of your team and to want to get on board and be on the bus, irrespective of their experience and their age. Yeah.
And that's right. I mean, you know, leadership is all about them, not so much about you. So that makes, fabulous sense.
And one of my favorite leadership quotes is it's not about giving out your energy, it's about getting their energy out of them kind of thing. And it's definitely, it's one of my passions. And I, as a leader, invest so much in personal development. I think if I can, my general rule is, and particularly in pharmacy, it's a very interesting industry, is you've got career-orientated pharmacists and you've got pharmacy assistants that sometimes it's a stepping stone in their career. They may be at uni, they may be doing it coming back from parents, you know, being on maternity leave. So you've got a very different workforce. You've got full-time, you've got part-time, people that potentially are with you 10, 15 years and others that are with you 2 years. And my one of my big things is that they leave a better person than when they first started with me. And I think
it's a great as a
As a leader, I think if you invest in your people, better people, it then indirectly benefits your business a hundredfold.
Wonderful. So I stopped you when you got to 26 and starting off that first role. So tell us what happened next.
Yeah, so for 10 years I was my sole priority was being the managing partner of Terry White Chem Mark Sanford, at the same time as getting married and having children, which brings a whole nother juggle to the world. And then through that time, hugely successful pharmacy. And one of the big reasons that we were so successful is our community engagement. And I recognized that very early on when I took over the business. The previous owner had had it for 30 years, had retired. It's a very, very tight-knit community in a semi-regional area. And I worked out quite early that getting in with the community was the way I was going to be successful in this pharmacy. And I linked back to netball and it started with the netball club. And, I'm a very strong believer that people want to belong to something bigger than themselves. And I work with that with my team. My team want to belong to something, but also my community. And I really worked really hard to create this health hub that they felt a part of. And that was a huge reason why we've won so many awards over the years. So in 2018, I was offered the opportunity to take over the managing partnership of Terry White Kamata Runner Hills. And that was really ready. 10 years in, I was ready to have that dual role of managing two teams. And I probably feel at Sanford, I was the captain coach and I was on the field and I was in everything. And this was now the opportunity probably to just be the coach from the grandstand. And have that second layer of management in there, which was a new, I'm normally a control freak and like to be in control. So it was quite a learning experience for me to make sure that how I helped them grow in their leadership journey as well. And which had been amazing, and running the two stores. And then I was presented with an opportunity. And I suppose one of my biggest lessons, I suppose, in the last 2 years is that whilst I'm a really strong goal setter, it can kind of lead to quite a tunnel vision. And definitely in the last 2 years, I've definitely kept my periphery open and open to a lot more opportunities. And you never know where a door will lead you. Yeah. And I was presented with an opportunity through some friends that are sports dietitians that came to me with an idea where they were struggling to access certified sports supplements for their athletes. And they said, Karen, you're in pharmacy, you're an athlete, can you just sort this out for us? And I remember going to the meeting with some quite high up Australian sports dietitians with my business partner. And I walked out and he said to me, what have you just done? And I said, just hang on for the ride and let's see where it takes us. And so
now we see the entrepreneur.
Yeah, exactly. And Batch Tested launched about 12 months ago, and we're just about to go into a really big marketing and PR phase. And so some people would say I wear a lot of hats and I juggle a lot of hats, but I love the variety and I do love the entrepreneurial now. And there's a synergy between all of them, whether it's pharmacy, business, sport, teams. And so I do love, I love that concept of the variety of my life, but also just in the last 2 years, really being open to opportunities and just seeing where they take you. And that's been the excitement.
Fantastic. I'm really interested in just pausing for a moment to talk about this control freak idea that you mentioned, because a lot of people, we often think about leadership from the point of view of control or needing to control and needing to control the work of others, although we're not really all that comfortable with the word control or with the word control freak. And so you talked about, I think that analogy you made is fabulous, like being the captain coach and the player coach on the field versus coaching from the grandstand. And that's an analogy I like to use in business, because I think people have that experience of sport so they can understand that concept more clearly. But what do you think it took for you in terms of how you saw yourself and the role that you were playing to make that shift, to come off the field, to do what you're calling a sort of a loosening or a shift in how you sought to control and what you sought to control? How did that happen?
I think I was ready for the next challenge, and I am very I love a new project and a new challenge. And I think that's where it was just the right time to go. Actually, I've done 10 years of my sole focus being the one pharmacy, that I was ready for that challenge. And in a way, to prove that I could do it again in a different suburb, a different community, a different clientele, all the, you know, comparing two pharmacies. And I think I was ready to, to step back and challenge myself. And then, you know, I do a lot of personal development and leadership coaching, and I've done all the psychometric testing, and I one recently, the Hogan's Report, and I think I was 99 for power. So so that kind of shows you
That's not all bad, of course.
No, I know. And that's something that I love about those reports, is the pros and cons and how you can use, you know, you use them to your advantage, and then where you have to dial them back a little bit. And so for me, it was a really good challenge to let go, but also the challenge of, you know, building up that next generation and seeing them flourish and seeing how they, and probably I probably was still the ideas person, but how they brought out their ideas and how they implemented it. And you can learn so much from each other. And I'm very big on, interestingly, in that same report, I was 95 on recognition, but 95 on affiliation. Like, I like to be that whole team environment is really big for me, and we collectively do it together and get recognized together. So,
And that's a fantastic balance, because being quite motivated, having a preference for power and exercising power in itself is not a bad thing, even if it's a high score. What really matters is how you use that. And so that sense of affiliation and recognition for others, you know, that sounds like a pretty, you know, powerful, a potent combination for bringing out the best in others.
Yes,
and so you've
exactly.
taken us in your story really up until about the beginning of last year. And of course, last year was a very different year for us all, very challenging. And, you know, for you working in pharmacy, you know, you're on the front line, you know, you're still open while everyone else is locked down. You've got people coming in who are particularly concerned about themselves, their health and what's happening, and perhaps seeking information from you at a time when, I don't know, not many of us actually knew what was going on and where we were heading. So I'm really interested in how you faced into the challenges of last year and what you learned about yourself, about leadership over the past year. And of course, we're still learning.
We're still learning, yes. Wow, what a 12 months. And I think it happened, I remember pretty much exactly 12 months ago, we were together at our last big Terry White came up masterclass, 500 pharmacists, and it was just simmering with talk of COVID, and it was more about stock issues and, you know, how overseas impacted our manufacturing chain of products and things like that. And then within a week, it all just turned with respect to stockpiling. That was probably the biggest change right at the start, customer panic. And I think for me as a leader, initially it was, I suppose, overwhelming. And I think I felt like I was expected to know all the answers. And I love that the team has so much trust and respect in me that they look to me. And I think sometimes, you know, if we go into battle, we want to follow someone that's extremely confident, and it might be a bit swan-like where on the top, it all looks fine, but underneath it's going a million miles an hour. And it was this overwhelming sense of I had to have all the answers, and there was so much information coming from so many places. And I then, it was probably about a week in after just being absolutely exhausted because it happened so quickly, and, you know, working crazy hours during the day and getting home and just going, what just happened today? I made a really, I suppose I drew a line in the sand and decided that all my decisions would be based on two things, and that was that my team felt safe and my team felt happy. And that's how I based all my decisions moving forward. And there was so much information on, and we tried to stick to, so my job was to filter that information and give them what they needed to know. There was, you know, things where masks weren't recommended, but some pharmacies were wearing masks, some were taking temperatures, some were doing that, so then you'd hear all this information. Should I be doing that? Shouldn't I be doing that? And that's when it kind of went, okay, as long as my team feels safe and happy, that's how I will base. You also, I'm quite innovative, and people do look to me for innovation, and you don't, I'm happy to be the first. You never want to be the last. And so I did make some pretty big calls about triaging, concierge, splitting teams. And I had a lot of support. Hugely, we relied on our network and pharmacy owners, obviously within the Terry White Chemmart network, but also I run another company called Innovative Pharmacy Group, which is ultimately just bring all pharmacy owners together from all over Australia. And we really relied on each other, and I felt you could be extremely vulnerable in front of them. We were all in the same boat. Yeah. So kind of hold it together in front of your team, but you could be vulnerable with your fellow colleagues. And some of them are and some of them had been through the bushfires, so had also already had some kind of implementation and strategy on what stages to kind of go through. And so when we split the teams, it's all the team, I end up having team A, team B, and team C was my backup if we all went down, because obviously if one person got infected, it closed the pharmacy for 14 days. So I recruited previous staff that were potentially had gone to uni and were doing other part-time jobs. I rang them and I was like, look, do you want a couple of hours a week? They're like, great. I don't have any work at the moment. They knew what they were doing. So they slotted into our teams. I'm also very big on work hard, play hard. And we do have, I'm really proud of the culture that we've got at our teams and the vibe that we have in store. And I really mm-hmm. wanted to keep that going because now you had teams that weren't seeing each other. We did online trivia nights. We had our actual catch-ups that were just via Zoom. And another thing that made me really proud was we had dance-off competitions before work. So Team A would do a dance in the morning and then Team B would do a dance at the end of the week. And we only recently released them to the public. Felt it was maybe a bit too sensitive at the time, but they were, you know, they were dances to Staying Alive, You Can't Touch This, like everything that was relevant mm-hmm. to COVID mm-hmm. at the time mm-hmm. that just made you laugh. And you start
took a leaf out of the TikTok
choreographed and then and then I'll never forget the last the night before we all joined back as one, Team B sent me their final dance video, and it was from the song of Sound of Music, which was So Long Farewell, and one of my pharmacists that was in his outfit and things like that. So it just really cemented to me that we had such a strong foundation. And you know, I was so proud of them and the selflessness, and we're all in it together. So yeah, once I drew that line in the sand of my decision making, I felt really confident. And then I think, as you mentioned, it's, I suppose, the outside world and the impact on my family. There was a lot of, you know, my husband was still working as well. So we had the homeschooling / going to school, you know, that guilt of should my children be going to school? Should they be at home? My parents helped significantly, and I didn't want to impact on them. They're, you know, late 60s. They were concerned of my health. The kids were concerned. You know, it was mummy to get sick. So it's really one of the other things. I was extremely fortunate in 2019 to do the Kokoda track in PNG. There's a group of us from Terry White, Ken Mart, with our CEO, head of operations, and 10 owners, and it was a phenomenal trip. But one of the biggest learnings I took from it, which did me extremely well during COVID, was the concept of be where your feet are. And in the lead up to Kokoda, you know, a very high powered group of leaders. Our coordinator, you know, how far are we walking each day? What's the elevations? I wanted to make sure I'd done all the appropriate training. And he wouldn't tell us anything. It was on the day, you just took one step after the other. Don't look up. Don't see how high that hill is. And it really brought me back down to just be in the moment. And that's what I tried to do in, during COVID, is when I was at work, don't look too far in front. Do what you need to do that day. When you get home, you know, that ultimate be where your feet are. And, yeah, I'll be forever grateful for that Kokoda trip for so many reasons, but that just was perfect during COVID. To have that, you know, and I'm, as I said, I'm such a goal setter, such forward thinking, and I just had to bring it back to let's just be in the moment. And we honestly didn't know what the next day was going to bring. So
that sounds like fantastic preparation, and I guess a nice lesson to be able to share with other leaders and up and coming leaders. So when you think about, you know, the sorts of messages that you'd like to pass on to others, I mean, pretty much everything you've said is a fantastic kind of advice and story for people to learn from. But what are your little nuggets of what's most important for people to be thinking about in their leadership career and aspirations?
I think the biggest one for me, which we've talked about, is just people want to belong, and just ultimately create an environment where people want to belong. And another sporting analogy, but when I finished netball, I rowed. So during high school, I went to one of the top rowing schools in Brisbane, always did netball over rowing. And then when I retired from netball, the rowing coach went, can I finally get you in a boat? And I think rowing is the ultimate team sport in a concept that 1 second out, it impacts the whole team. Yet in netball, you could have a bad game and you can miss a couple of shots. And yet when I rowed, I never felt so lonely. And I appreciate phenomenal rowing and a full flight, the eight out on the river at sunrise is a phenomenal experience. But to me, it's always been the intangibles. And I felt it, the analogy back to business was everyone was in their silos doing exactly what they needed to do for the production line to work. But it missed the magic. And I love the magic of netball and that team where you're looking at each other, you're chatting, you can feed off each other. And I often talk about that in business, that sometimes it's not the black and white of the strategic plan. It's that intangibles and the magic that you create that makes people want to be part of your team. And indirectly, then you can have a really successful business. So, yeah, tip number one is create an environment where people feel like they belong and they want to belong. My other tip is I've always had a little bag of tricks. So learning from as many people as you can and take, even if it's just taking one thing from everyone and put it in your little bag of tricks. And that's how you then create your style of leadership, how you want to often talk about, you know, I'm very strong on what I want my pharmacist legacy to be. But I was only recently asked, what do I want my leadership legacy to be? And I hadn't actually thought about that, but it was something that people said, you know, how do you want people to feel when they work as part of your team? How do you want people to remember you? What would it be like? How would you feel if you were led by yourself kind of thing? So I think it's definitely having this bag of tricks and creating your own identity. And then one of my other favorite quotes is, build the plane while you're flying it.
I think we can waste a lot of that lately.
I think we can waste a lot of time aiming for perfection, waiting for the perfect time. Sometimes, you know, as I said, that door opens, you just got to take your chance, say yes and work it out afterwards. And what's the worst thing that can happen? Like, ultimately, what's the worst thing that can happen? So yeah, be brave and take that chance. And I think it's an amazing ride, and that's what I've been so privileged as that 14-year-old having that dream, and now I'm living it and loving every minute of it. And then I love in the last few years where it's taken me, and also, you know, I've got huge aspirations to continue. I suppose I've always first and foremost see myself as a pharmacist and a pharmacy owner. But the excitement of batch tested and being around the athletes and having that clinical role of sports pharmacy, I suppose. I'm really excited where the next 10 years can take me, whether that's more pharmacies, you know, impacting more teams, mentoring up and coming owners. It's exciting. It's an exciting time to be a pharmacist as well. I think COVID was our time to shine, and I think we did that, as you mentioned. You know, we were open the whole time, we were there for our patients, and they really respected that and loved it, and that's just bred a whole nother I suppose that community feel, which is pharmacy, which is what I love.
That's fantastic. And I, for one, am very excited. I'll be watching what happens in the next 10 years, Karen, because, you know, I can just see that the sort of the acceleration of your career started quite early, those sort of opportunities to take on those leadership roles, and how, you know, you've used all of that opportunity to its absolute maximum. And then you've made those little leaps along the way. And I can imagine some more of those in the future. It's just been fantastic speaking with you today. I've really loved your insights into leadership, and you've been very open in telling your story, and it's a great one that we can learn a lot from. So thank you so much for your time. I look forward, as I said, to the next decade, because this is a big story that's unfinished yet.
Oh, thank you so much, Karen. It's been lovely chatting.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, bye now.
Bye.